We will get the latest developments on K-12 schools, learn how districts are navigating this fall's pandemic challenges, how your family is coping. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's focus on the forward momentum of our fall member drive. I'm here with Keely Boltina. Hi, Keely.
Good morning, Kate.
We are here to say you count on the Ideas Network for these great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so critical.
This is a really great time because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now. It comes from current members, including Jean, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR. And the math is pretty simple. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 is really $200, and so on. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been hearing about Wisconsin hickory nuts and their uses, a fascinating conversation, and just how these nuts have been incorporated into our lives. Many questions surfacing from people listening in, calling in, enlivening, enriching the conversations every single day. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from the morning show.
And WPR is listener supported. The morning show is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
I mean, maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like the other things that are important to you, and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio wakes me up every morning. Mostly I just enjoy the morning programming and the afternoon programming. I became a sustaining member because I felt so guilty with all the pledge drives. Because they're so logical and they're so persistent. It's crucial that we have people support it so we don't lose it.
I'm Sarah from Wausau. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Love those words, logical and persistent. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Boltina. You know, it's listener support that is the biggest chunk, the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that is why your support during this fall member drive is so logical. So maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
That's really key. We ask that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 or more dollars a month.
And whatever the amount, it will be matched dollar for dollar. Right now, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong. So give now, whatever amount feels right to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is in effect right now. Don't leave this money on the table. Let's go ahead and double your gift. There's room for your gift to be matched, so give now at WPR.org or use the phone, call 888-202-2552. And right now, your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And if you're not a sustainer, how about you become one right now? It's easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love.
The bottom line is your gift is powerful. It makes a big difference. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Wisconsin is home to more than 997,000 school-age kids. And as they get back into the rhythm of the new school year, we've been following the mask debates, the school boards mulling vaccine mandates, the bus driver shortage that has districts scrambling over logistics. Taking K-12 developments one at a time, hearing your stories on how the first weeks have gone. 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Maddie Fox is Wisconsin Public Radio's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee. Maddie, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
So Friday, very pivotal, marked an important day for budgets. The third Friday in September is when schools take a census of their enrollment, and that number influences funding formulas. We also heard about Kenosha. Some parents were threatening to take their kids out of school Friday. What was going on?
Sure. So I sometimes joke that the third Friday count is a holiday to education reporters like me and to people who work in schools and nobody else. It is this day when schools count how many students are in class, and that helps influence the way that they're funded. It's a complicated formula, but basically there's a part of it is a three-year rolling average of students' enrollment. So this year's count, last year's count, and the year before's count will be used to help calculate what schools get in terms of state funding, and also how much money they can take in through a combination of school funding and state funding and property taxes. So this count is important. It's a little bit hard to draw a direct line. Like if one student's missing, that doesn't mean they're going to lose all the funding from that one student because it's an average. Mm-hmm. But so Kenosha was an interesting case, and I haven't heard much about this happening elsewhere in the state. That's not to say that it hasn't, but there were a handful of parents that were upset about the fact that Kenosha was requiring masks for all students and staff. And so they wanted to pull their kids out to sabotage that count and to basically threaten schools' funding. Hmm. So it doesn't seem like it was a super large number of families, but I think it is significant just because that's a really bold statement, because it's not, you know, that funding isn't just for masks, it's for everything that a school does. And so the fact that parents were willing to put their school's financial situation at risk is really striking to me.
Where are the districts on masking? How common is it for schools across the state to require masks?
The way that I usually think about it is I believe, and there's, you know, 421 school districts plus private schools in Wisconsin. So I don't have exact numbers on what share are masking, what share are mask optional, or just part of the grades are masks, and which are not requiring any at all. But my educated guess is that I would think that the majority of students in Wisconsin are in a district that's requiring masks, in part because the biggest districts, you know, Milwaukee, Madison, Kenosha, are requiring masks. But I believe the majority of districts are probably not requiring masks at this point.
Okay, well, let's take a call on masks. Beth is joining us from the Elmbrook School District in Waukesha area. Beth, hi.
Hi.
What are you experiencing?
Well, I'm actually part of a group we started of concerned parents. It's called Elmbrook Parents SOS for Safe Open Schools. And we recognize that we don't feel like there's nearly enough being done in terms of that layered risk but mitigation strategy. We saw last year that they did an incredible job. And then this year, things just got a lot more loose. And in light of what we're seeing with the spike, with the Delta variant, and with how this is impacting kids more so than we've ever seen. I've talked to dozens of healthcare provider parents in our district, and the bells are alarmed, and we're really concerned that things are just becoming so political and not being taken in the right context as to this is a here and now issue that you have to evaluate, assess, and approach on an ongoing basis. You can't just compare it to last year's situation and say, oh, no, we're good. We didn't have any transmission. It didn't impact the kids. People, you know, have spoken, and they're just sick of, you know, having the pandemic fatigue. So we're really trying to understand that bigger picture of like, what can we do collectively to keep our kids safe and not be pawns?
Beth, have you made any inroads as a group of collective parents?
Well, we've been trying to be vocal. We did go to a school board meeting, and for us, it's not just about masks. That's just a lightning rod issue that I feel like is so divisive. We're not even talking about masks. We're talking about, let's get a more robust testing program in place. Let's make sure that we're utilizing all the tools that we have. We're trying to meet with our school district administration. We're trying to have conversations with basically anybody who will listen. And we're trying to be a bridge building community too. And again, not be divisive, because that's the thing that just really irks a lot of our parents. It's like, why does this have to be political? Let's just put the kids first and foremost and make sure they're safe. We want them to be in person. We want them to be safe.
Beth, thank you for sharing your story. Maddie, are parent groups making a difference here in this, hyper-politicized issue of mask mandates?
That's a tough question. I think there's definitely a lot of parents. There's also hundreds of pediatricians and other medical professionals who work with kids signed a letter last month saying, we have evidence of the mitigation resources that work and we should use them. So there's been a lot of pushing. We are, I think, seeing that move the needle in some districts that might have been a little more on the fence. But there's limits, I think, to what school boards are willing to do, certainly, and to what school administrators are willing to do. The nice thing about last year for families was that there was a statewide mask mandate. And so schools really didn't have to have this battle about masks. I mean, some did in the spring when the mask mandate lifted, and there was a little bit of a, before the mask mandate went into effect, there was definitely a little bit of divisiveness in this over school boards. But for the most part, most of last year, it was just a known fact that there had to be masks in school. And so this year we don't have that. And it has meant that there's a lot more arguing about it. And frankly, a lot of school boards are just getting really fatigued, because some of these meetings are getting incredibly nasty. We've seen a few shut down.
Spiraling out of control.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You don't have to look very far to find some pretty terrifying videos of school board meetings.
We're checking in with Maddie Fox, Wisconsin Public Radio's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee, on the state of the school year. Maddie, Milwaukee Public Schools requiring vaccines for staff. The district is allowing exemptions for religious or medical reasons. Madison Schools taking steps toward a vaccine mandate. How are school boards approaching the vaccine?
I think that Madison and Milwaukee might be, and maybe a few other school districts, but I think those will really be the ones to approach a mandate for staff. I don't think that we'll see that in a widespread way across the state. It's certainly a question, and I think a lot of people will be anxious to see how it goes in Milwaukee. I know one of the concerns is that teachers will resign rather than have to comply. And we don't know if that's the case. Milwaukee doesn't have numbers on how many of their teachers are currently vaccinated, or how many specifically support a vaccine mandate. And so it's going to be interesting to see.
There's been a significant bus driver shortage and really worsened by the pandemic. What is the status of this shortage?
So there was a shortage of bus drivers even before the pandemic started. It's an interesting job. It's a tough job to hire for, because it's usually part-time, and it's like part-time twice a day. So you're going in the morning, you're going in the afternoon. And so they tend to attract a lot of actually retired folks, because those hours make more sense. Or also they pull pretty significantly from parents, because they, it's great for them to have a similar schedule to their kids, and they're often allowed to take their kids on the bus with them, so they don't have to worry about childcare. So those two groups have also had a tougher time in the pandemic. I mean, a lot of bus drivers, like I said, are retired. They're already in that high risk age group. And
school bus drivers, they need a commercial driver's license.
Yes.
And they have to get that training to drive the school bus. I wonder if slower onboarding of new drivers has been a barrier to staffing up.
Absolutely. Well, and not only do they need the commercial driver's license, but they need a number of special certifications. You know, obviously they're being trusted with a lot of kids who might not be the most quiet and sedate all the time. And so they have to have these certain certifications that show that they can not only drive the vehicle, but drive a vehicle full of kids. And they have to pass, also understandably, a lot of different background checks and screenings to make sure that they are safe drivers for these kids. So that's a lot of regulatory hurdles, and no one I've talked to thinks that that's a bad idea, but it does mean that it takes a while to onboard drivers. Some drivers either get screened out or just when confronted with all of that paperwork, and you have to recertify your license on a regular basis. And so, you know, every few years, a driver has to go back through this process. And so every few years, they're thinking, oh, man, do I really want to do this again? And so especially now, I think when we're seeing a job market where so many places are hiring with hours that might make more sense for people, with pay that potentially makes more sense for people, especially school districts that have their own buses and have their own drivers rather than contracting out. They're limited by their school budget in terms of the kinds of like signing bonuses they can offer, which is mm-hmm. something that other businesses are using to address worker shortages. So it was a problem going into the pandemic and the resulting economic changes have definitely made it more complicated.
Really quickly here, as we end, First Lady Jill Biden visits Milwaukee last week, learning about virtual learning. What is the state of virtual this fall?
It's definitely playing a much smaller role. I think when I talk to school officials, they're like crossing their fingers, you know, lighting candles and praying, just doing everything they can to just like hope that they will stay in person, because they do not, by and large, want to go back to that majority virtual setting. And schools did start in person this year. That said, I mean, in part because they paved the way, a lot of school districts paved the way on this last year, they are prepared for the fact that like if entire classes or entire grades or even just a few students have to be out to quarantine, they can keep learning through virtual means, or
they
at least
have
stay
that
in
template.
Yes, yeah,
to go back.
And then a few districts also set up separate virtual options, like Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay have all done that. So,
well, Maddie, thank you for joining us and for your reporting.
Thank you so much for having me.
Maddie Fox, Wisconsin Public Radio's K-12 education reporter based in Milwaukee. Tomorrow after 7:30, we discuss the latest developments in higher ed. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Hope you stick around next hour for the next installment of our Ask a Contractor series. We're breaking out the paint cans, discussing your painting projects. And speaking of freshening up, we are in our fall member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Boltina. We are here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like The Morning Show, support from people like you. It is the largest piece of the funding for WPR programs. And that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We have a dollar for dollar match in effect right now. And thank you so much if you've already given. I have to say, though, we have $1,800 left on the table.
All right. Match money on the table.
Now is the time. It's excellent because current members, including Jean, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR, will double every dollar you give for the next 5 minutes. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So do it now. Double the impact of your gift. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, in the last segment, we learned about the state of K-12 schools, how districts are grappling with the pandemic era these times. We also heard from a parent group in the Waukesha area, the Elmbrook School District, and how they are approaching masking. These are the kinds of conversations that inform, that engage, and that enlighten you, and you count on them from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Know that giving right now means that it's doubled, and make that gift.
We have a beautiful new long sleeve shirt this year. It's printed right here in Wisconsin. Navy shirt features the WPR logo on the front and a Wisconsin-inspired design on the back. Show off your WPR pride when you ask for your WPR long sleeve shirt today. Give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater.
I'm Kathy Ross, and I live in Whitewater. I'm originally from North Carolina, and there, public radio was very much part of my life. And so about 6 years ago, I came to southeastern Wisconsin to be closer to my family. And one of the things that my daughter told me before I got here was, Mom, you're going to love WPR. And she was right.
All the credit is mine for introducing my mother to WPR. Probably one of the better things I've done for you, huh, Mom? What do you think?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Make your contribution today because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click donate.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation when we have a match on the table. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Keely Baltina. Your support during this fall member drive, it really makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Yeah, four words, dollar, four, dollar, match. Now is the time. It's still in effect through the top of the hour. It's from current members, including Jean, a supporter in Madison who loves WPR. Simple math. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. Your gift of $100, it means $200 to support the programs that you rely on here at WPR. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We can all feel it. Our world gets more complex all the time. You rely on Wisconsin Public Radio to turn these complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language so you know how things will affect you.
Thank you so much for being part of this. Your gift right now is so important here on WPR on the morning show. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.